have a nice sugya today.
What you bring to the
Peis Hashem
to our attention?
Thanks. Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, there's fresh.
Yeah.
Cup.
Oh, great.
Okay.
I tell you, you know, we can't. If you want to sit in the back, you have to come early.
Okay.
Could someone point the camera at your face instead of on the ceiling?
Usher leader is not here, so please, we're going to try to do the best we can. We're always aware of that problem. Okay, you don't have to take up our time with that. We're always aware of that problem. And we're going to try to solve it. But usher leader is not here. So all this falls on me. So please, let me try to do the best I can. Thank you. Okay, where are we up to? Yes, see if you could find it. On Daf Chafheim and Aleph, it's towards the bottom, and it's Omer Ab Yaakov, Omer Ab Yochanan. So let's count up from the bottom of the page. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 lines up from the bottom.
Yes,
Omer Ab Yaakov, Omer Ab Yochanan. Bakol Misrapim Chutz Mi Atzei Asherah. It means you're allowed to use what we call Isurei Hanah, which the Torah prohibits in general, right, from benefiting from. But yet the Torah, although it prohibits it in general, it permits it in the case of refuah. Now when it says refuah, we have to assume, and I'll tell you exactly why I'm going to make this assumption, that refuah means pikuach nefesh, that someone's life is at stake. Jerry, if you can think of a way of standing this up, again, as I've said a million times, we need to buy a stand, but we don't have a stand. Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Right. So for the sake of pikuach nefesh, we're going to violate an iser hanah, which is an iser doraisa, and that's based on the principle of achai bohem velo shiyomus bohem, that life takes precedence over the violation of a Torah law. So for example, we could talk about chelev of shara niskal, which could be used as a refuah, but that would again be shalo keder hanah. So in any event, we could talk about using klaya kerem or orla, which is also mano. Thank you so much. But in the case of atzei ashera, which means trees that were planted for the sake of avodah zarah, or perhaps trees that, even if they weren't planted for the sake of avodah zarah, they've already been worshipped as avodah zarah, that's called asherah. In these cases, you are not allowed to use them even for a pikuach nefesh situation. Now, everything I'm telling you now is based on the final conclusion of the Gemara, so I'm sort of letting the cat out of the bag. Initially, the Gemara is not sure what the word misrapim means. What's the scenario? Is misrapim a pikuach nefesh situation, or is misrapim a what's called einbo sakana? Hechidomi, what's the case? And the Gemara thinks the following: if the case is, and that would give us that deika sakana, that would give us that would be the impression that we get from the original statement of Bakol Misrapin. Pashtus Bakol Misrapin means you can violate Isra no Doraisa for the sake of refuah. It must mean that it must be a sakana case, and therefore we're applying the principle of Achai Bohem, Velo Shiyomus Bohem, is then we should apply that principle even to Atzei Asherah. In other words, when you're benefiting from Atzei Asherah, that's a violation of an Issur Torah which should be suspended for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh, because Pikuach Nefesh is Doche Kol HaTorah Kul. It overrides the entire Torah, and presumably it overrides even the Issur of Hanah from Avodah Zarah. And this entire principle of Pikuach Nefesh Doche Kol HaTorah Kula is based on a pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim. It says, "V'chai b'hem," you should live by them. And the Gemara darshins at the end of Masechta Yoma, "V'chai b'hem v'lo shiyomas b'hem." And the Gemara there at the end of Yoma has many other drashos to derive and arrive at the same conclusion that we violate all these surim in the Torah for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh. And the Gemara thinks that that principle of v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyomas b'hem, that pikuach nefesh is docha kol haTorah kula, should apply as well to atzei asherah. Ido leka sakon, if you can tell me that the reason why we don't override the isur of hanah from avodah zarah in this case is because there's no sakon, the person's life is not in the balance, is not in danger, is afilu kol isur shabbat Torah nami lo, then what would be the force, the power that would give us license to violate other Isurei Hanah, other than Atzei Asherah, for the sake of Refuah, if Refuah means that there's no element of Sakana? Leolam De'ika Sakana, I have to go back to my original premise that the reason why we're allowed to override the Isur Hanah of other Isurim is because of Sakana. Now you're going to ask me, well, if it's because of Sakana, so why shouldn't we apply the same sakana rule of Achai Bahem to Atzei Asherah? He says, Afilu Hachi, nevertheless, Atzei Asherah lo. We're not going to permit you to use Atzei Asherah for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh. Let the man die rather than violate the Isur Hanav of Avodah Zarah. And now the Gemara is going to tell us that the Isur Hanav of Avodah Zarah is itself on the same status and has the same severity as worshipping an idol. The Gemara never dreamt of this. The Gemara thought that, okay, you're not allowed to worship an idol in one of four different ways, right? Okay, but as far as benefiting from Avodah Zarah, you're not worshipping the Avodah Zarah. That does not have the status of Avodah Zarah. It's a separate Isur, and it comes under Shar Isuri Anah, and that should, certainly we would override based on Pikuach Nefesh. No, the Chiddush here, it's an amazing Chiddush. And we have to understand how that works. That Hanah from Avodah Zarah, in the case of Refuah, is itself Avodah Zarah. Disanyan, and we have a rule based on a rule that applies to Avodah Zarah, and this rule is going to teach us that we suspend the normal principle of Achai Bahem in the case of Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, and I'll read the whole pasuk. It says, "V'yahavtos Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshcha b'chol modecha." The word modecha means mamoncha, your possessions. So the question is, im nemar b'chol nafshecha, which means you have to give up your life for Avas Hashem, lo menemar b'chol modecha, how much more so it's understood that I'd have to give up my every last penny for the sake of Avas Hashem, v'im nemar b'chol modecha, and if the Torah would have said b'chol modecha, which means that for some reason a person's possessions are even more valuable than his life, is laman emar b'chol nafshecha, so then I would understand for sure that he has to give up his life. The Gemara is now entertaining a very strange havamina, that b'chol modecha is a greater sacrifice than b'chol nafshecha. Very strange. Maybe it means there are a couple of billion dollars involved, and that's even more valuable than a person's life. But in any event, why does the Torah need both b'chol nafshecha and b'chol modecha ela lo melecha? The Torah is addressing two different types of individuals. In Yesh Adam, shegufo chaviv alav mimamono, which I would consider a normal person who would consider his life a lot more significant than his possessions, is therefore l'kach nemer b'chol nafshecha. Addressing such a person, we put avas Hashem on the highest level, such that it even requires giving up your very life. And that would have been enough. The Torah, if it was only addressing this kind of person, if that was your audience, which would be a normal person, then it should have just said v'chol nafshecha, and that would have been enough. There would be no need for v'chol modecha. But the Yesh Adam, because there is such a person out there, again, maybe he needs to get therapy, I don't know, but he thinks Mamono Chavval of Migufa. He cherishes his possessions more than his goof. You know, if you're going to steal something of his, he'll go out there and he'll accost you, even if it means that he'll die. You know, that's his warped sense of values. Is Lakach Nema B'chol Modecha. And again, if we were only addressing that type of person, then all we would need b'chol modech, and we would understood b'chol nafshecha, because modech is more important in his frame of reference, in his scale of values than nafshecha. But since we have in the audience two different types of people, therefore the Torah has to address one type of person and tell b'chol nafshecha, and the male I understand b'chol modech. The Torah has to address the other type of person who thinks that his mamon is more valuable than his life, and therefore the Torah has to say b'chol modecha, and it's understood b'chol nafshecha. And now, after having said this, we have the mitzvah of avas Hashem, and avas Hashem means, at the very least, that we have to. I don't know how to do this. What he doesn't? Oh, fine. That avas Hashem at the very least means not to believe, not to accept another deity, and not to worship another deity. But here the Gemara is going even further, and the Gemara is telling us that you'll take a look at this Rashi, Divra Maschil Lama. Just 1 second. Where's the Rashi Dibra Maschil Lama? Now I lost it. It's towards the bottom. Yeah, Lama Nemar B'chol Modecha. Thank you. Yomar HaChoviv Mishnei V'tai. Oh. So forth and so on. Now, Vamisrape. You see the last five words, last six words in this Rashi on page Chav Heimanah. Zot Rashi Vamisrape Bi'atze Ashera. Now again, what I'd like to do is, I'd like to bracket the next five letters for a moment, and then we'll come back and read those five letters again. Let's read it like this. This is just for pedagogic purposes. I'm not changing the Girsan Rashi, but Vamisrapi bi'atze ashera modeba. Now what does that mean, modeba? Yes. Can you flesh it out a little better? I'm sorry, Gershon, I'm asking you to say it even more
clearly. Healing from the tree, it's as if you were worshipping it.
Where? Why? What is modeba? Modeba means he...
You're acknowledging it.
He acknowledges what?
That he is not just healing himself, but that he's doing. Actually, he's healing from, because he's done the idolatry, he's now getting better.
Well, the idolatry itself, the power of Avodah Zarah is healing him.
Yeah, yeah. In other words,
there's no biological explanation as to why the serum, if you call it, the syrup from the tree is going to heal him. The man is in a delirious state of, he has 105 fever and he's dying, chashom, of whatever disease he's dying. And, it's not like the physician is prescribing for him a certain medication which, based on biological science, is going to heal him. But rather, there's some power in this tree. He's modeba. He confesses, or that's not a good word. He acknowledges. Yeah, that was your word. He acknowledges that there's a certain supernatural power to this tree, and that's what's going to bring him healing. That itself is Avodah Zarah. Now Rashi adds, those are the five letters that I skipped. Nireh ki modeba. he doesn't really acknowledge this. Now, there's a paradox here. What do you mean he doesn't acknowledge it? So why is he dreaming that this is going to save his life?
It has the appearance of what doing that.
It must be that there's some biological, how should I say, healing power in the serum that you extract from the tree. No, if there's a biological, so why is it near Kimodomo? So I think what might be going on here, I'm just throwing out a suggestion, is that this is the only tree available. What do I mean? There are many trees of this ilk, of this species, that could heal him. But this one is the only one that he has access to. The other trees are far away. And in truth, if he could have imported very urgently, very quickly, you know, doctors give him X number of hours to live, if he could have imported the serum from a different tree other than this Avodah Zarah tree, and it has the identical biological substance, he would have done so. That would have been his first choice. But he's in a no-win situation. Why? Because he doesn't have availability of this other tree. So if you ask me what's going on in his mind, he believes that the refuah is coming biological. It has nothing to do with the fact that this is an Avodah Zarah tree. But what does it look like to the spectator? That's what Rashi means, nira kimodaba. The spectator thinks, Thosefis, why did he choose this tree? So the spectator doesn't answer because the other trees weren't available. The spectator thinks the reason why he's doing this tree is the same reason why the idolaters believe that this tree has a special status. David?
It seems odd that the man should have to die to avoid a Mar Sinai situation. Like, his life is worth less than the onlooker's perception, which may or not be correct even. That seems pretty harsh to me.
It seems the following. That when we have an action which could fit under two categories, it could either be let's call it a secular mundane action, or it could be a religious action, the machria that's going to determine how to define the action is going to be the spectator. If the spectator sees that what he's doing, again, that's how the spectator interprets the facts on the ground, is an act of Avodah Zarah, meaning he is utilizing the spooks, you know, the supernatural powers of the idol in order to heal himself, then that defines the action and categorizes it as a mice of Avodah Zarah.
Morisai.
Correct, but I'm saying it's more than just Morisai. David is saying that for the sake of Morisai, and again, just because this Yehupis guy, this Yodel Lodel, thinks I'm worshiping Avodah Zarah, if I have to give up my life, what do I give a hoot about this guy? So it's not your classic case of Maris Ayin. It's much more than that. The Maris Ayin is being used here as a barometer, as a tool to determine and to define the nature of the action. Now, in order to appreciate this, let's take a look at this Tosfos, Chutz Me'atzei Hashem, and then I'll answer questions. Because I think that this Tosfos, Chutz Me'atzei Asherah, could be a very critical element in our understanding of this sugya as to why you cannot use this Avodah Zarah Asherah tree for health purposes. So let's read the Tosfos inside. Nira Lari. You have that?
Yep.
Okay. Now, keep in mind that the statement that we're analyzing here, the Gemara, that you're not allowed to use Atzei Asherah for refuah is a statement attributed to Rabbi Yaakov. And Rabbi Yaakov in turn quotes Rabbi Yochanan. He says the following. Nira Lari, Demairi, what's the case? She'ein yochol lisrape mishar etzim elabazeh. That why is it that he needs this tree? He singles out this tree, and he couldn't use other trees which are not Osir Bano, right? Because the other trees were not worshipped. Kigon al yidei shedim o shum davar acher. That somehow this tree has the power of shedim. of demons, if you want to call it that. Oshum davar acher. There's some power here which causes refuah, which is going to be responsible for healing. Now, I'm not sure what he means by al yidei shedim. I don't know how the shedim somehow entered into this tree or something of that sort. Or what does he mean by dover acher? Dover acher could mean maybe biological reasons. I don't know. And now he's not allowed to use them. Why not? Mishum di osi limite basar avodah zara. And I'm going to try to interpret this Tosus, but it's not exactly what we saw in Rashi of Nirik and Modaba. It's similar, but I think there's a difference. What does it mean? Mishum di osi limite. In other words, since for whatever reason he needs this tree, and he has no choice, that's the only way he could save his life, it looks like there's some special power to this tree. Again, does he believe there's a special power to this tree, some supernatural power because it's an Avodah Zarah tree? I don't know. But Asi Limite means that if he could have used other trees, and yet he used this tree, then it looks like this tree is special, is unique, and that's the refuah. The refuah comes from this tree. And therefore, Asi Limite Basar Avodah Zarah. So again, if I'm just going to read to you this translation. He says, "Im yachol istrapos al yidei etzim acherim shari." But since, as we said before, "Eino yachol istrapos mishar etzim." Now, I don't know exactly what that means. If he's talking about shedim, okay, fine. Is that, I don't know, is he identifying shedim as avodah zarah? But then he writes, "Al yidei." Oh, shum davar acher, which sounds like
you're getting some healing from a tree rather than from Hashem, and that somehow is less than what you're supposed to understand.
So again, let's just go with the facts on the ground, Gershon. He's saying the following: if he could have availed himself of other trees, right, which would be that, let's call that yochol esrapos mishar etzim, then there's no difference between this tree and any other tree as far as the medicinal impact or result. Right? But since, as we said before, Eino Yochol Esrapos Mishar Eitzum, since there's something special about this tree, then is it perhaps the Avodah Zarah power of this tree that's saving his life? Now, why does that make it into Avodah Zarah? I don't know. Let's just go on in Tosus and see if he clarifies this. He says, V'gabi ben Doma b'Avodah Zarah perek sheni. So there's some story here about ben Doma. Ben Doma was the nephew of Rabbi Shmuel. And the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, Shenoshko Nachash, he was bitten by a serpent, Uba Yaakov Ishkvar Sachnya, and there was a special healer by the name of Yaakov, who came from a village called Sachnya, Lirafoso, I would say, in order to heal him. So they called up the witch doctor, so to speak, the great doctor Yaakov Ish Kfar Sachnia, Velo Hinicho Rabbi Shmuel Lerafoso. But Rabbi Shmuel blocked it. He would not allow Yaakov to administer the refuah. Why? Mishum di afkarusa, mishum di apikursus mashcha. So again, Rabbi Shmuel would not allow this Yaakov to serve as the healer. Why? Because of apikursus moshcha. In other words, I guess he, this Yaakov, was dragged along, was schlepped into this belief in apikursus. He says, I'm going to just read to you the Hebrew translation. He says, "Ein lomar de kavanas Rabbi Yishmael hoisa shosel esrapos ayidei min bechol ofen." So again, the whole thrust of this Tosfos is to try to prove that it would have been possible, if it would have been possible to heal himself with other trees, then it would have been mutter. But in the case where the only possibility of healing himself would have been this one particular tree, which happens to be an Avodah Zarah tree, now we're worried about Nirikim Modeb Avodah Zarah. Again, Tosfos doesn't use the language Nirikim Modeb, but Asi Lemitei Basar Avodah Zarah. And in the case where Rabbi Yishmael blocked the administration of healthcare on the part of Yaakov, it wasn't that you can never ever use a let's say a Christian or somebody who believes in idols. You can never use such an idol worshiper as a doctor. That's not what we're saying, because then we would say that in the case of Asherah, you can't use the Asherah even if there are other trees that would suffice for medicinal purposes, and that would be, that would not be Modek Avodah Zarah, because he could have used other trees. And also, in the case of a min, he could have used a different physician. But rather, we're talking about a case where it would be, the indication would be that if this refuah was successful, it would be because of Avodah Zarah. So I guess what he's saying is that the nature of the procedure, we'll call it the medical procedure that Yaakov was implementing, was somehow connected to Avodah Zarah. You know, that was the nature of his methodology. When we first be Shalmi Pekshmon Ashrotzim, Shohayarotza Lilchosh Lo B'Shem Zar. That what was Yaakov Avinu's, Yaakov Ishtachnia. What was his program? What was his plan? Except that Rabbi Shmuel blocked him. He wanted to use a Shem Zar, which means an Avodah Zarah. He was going to employ and invoke the idols, and that would bring about the refuah. And therefore Rabbi Shmuel would not allow him to do so. Aval al yidei tachboshes, but let's say if Yaakov would have used conventional medical procedure, he would have used the tachboshes, some sort of a bandage. Shari, the fact that Yaakov Ishachnia was he himself an idol worshiper, that per se would not prohibit it. You know, we're not saying that don't call up a physician if he's an idol worshiper. As long as he's utilizing standard conventional methods of medicine, that's okay. Because then you could have gotten that from a different medical practitioner. But if he's going to use some method which is not conventional and would indicate that he's utilizing the powers of Avodah Zarah, that's prohibited. Can Amrina and Hassam, like the Gemara says there, I assume there means in Avodah Zarah, the Rabbi Avo Ramale Yaakov Apikursa Sama Ashkia, that Rabbi Avo had trouble with his legs, and he allowed Yaakov, this apikoros, who believed in maybe believed in the Trinity or whatever idol worship he believed in, he allowed him to implement a refuah. What kind of refuah? Sama ashkia. Sama means some sort of a drug, some sort of a classic medicinal procedure. So we see that you're allowed to employ a min, you know, an idol worshiper as a physician, unless it's nire kimodav avodah zarah, unless it looks like asi limite basar avodah zarah. Therefore, in the case of atzei asherah, if there were other trees that could have equally served that purpose, then the fact that this tree in particular happens to be an avodah zarah tree, that's not asi limite. But if there's something unique about this tree, and again, what's unique about this tree? So I don't know. First, he says they shade them. Again, I'm a little confused here. Whether shade them is avodah zarah? I don't know. I guess if you attribute divine powers to these shadim, maybe that becomes a motor, I don't know. But then he says, oh, shum dover acher. So I don't know what dover acher means. Maybe dover acher means a motor. It's very confusing to me in Tosus. But the bottom line is that here are the two paragraphs, both addressing the question, are you allowed to be misrape with atzei asherah? Paragraph number one says the following: if there's nothing unique about this tree, and other trees would have equally accomplished the same goal, then you're allowed to be misrapi from atzei asherah. Just like in the case of a rofe who's a min, and let's say he's an idol worshiper, if you could have used the services of any other rofe, then that's fine. That's paragraph number one, you're allowed. But when are you not allowed to be misrapi about atzei asherah? That's when he couldn't have had a refuah from any other biological substance of, you know, that you would extract from any other tree on the face of the earth. There's something unique about this tree. And what's unique about this tree, again, I can only suggest that the language of Tosus perplexes me, but that there's some relationship between this tree and the supernatural world of Avodah Zarah, of the demons and the like. And that's called Asi Limite Basar Avodah Zarah, or in Rashi's language, Nira Kimodim Avodah Zarah.
If there were 10 trees, all the similar men, they all have a healing power, and only the one tree is used for Avodah Zarah, if the fellow uses this one tree, we're saying he can, but the onlooker might think...
Because the other nine could have also...
Yeah, but the onlooker would say, why did he choose this tree? It's an Avodah Zarah tree. Wouldn't the onlooker be even more to think... is an Avodah Zarah, because in this case he chose the tree that had been an Avodah Zarah tree.
So again, in Rashi's frame of reference, I think you have a very good point, but Tosus doesn't use the term nirakim modaba. Tosus says asi limite. So asi limite means that if admittedly no other tree would have done the job. You know, you could, even though it's the exact same min, the same species of a tree, the same biological makeup of the tree, you know, everything is the same. But the only tree that was singled out was this one, then it's asi limite. He's going to come to the conclusion that his life was saved, and certainly other people around are going to come, that his life was saved by the powers of Avodah Zarah. They're going to attribute powers to Avodah Zarah, as if Avodah Zarah is an independent deity that works on its own. That's in a case where there's no other. But now, if the choice of this tree was, shall we say, technical, nobody ordered this particular tree, you know, they would have been very happy to use any other similar tree, and it was just, shall we call it, coincidental that they utilized this tree. No one's going to come to the conclusion, and certainly not the Chol himself, that it's because of the Avodah Zarah powers of this tree that he was healed.
Maybe he was brought to believe that tree would have the powers as opposed to other trees.
So again, if you're talking about a case where, you know, this man, you know, is somehow convinced that there's Avodah Zarah power in the tree, maybe the law would change. But we don't know that that's the case. You know, we don't assume up front that he believes in Avodah Zarah. But what we believe is that he might come to believe in Avodah Zarah.
See, at the beginning you asked about what sakana is there that say is
Sarah. Sakana? No, sakana means his life is in danger for whatever disease he's suffering.
So I want to suggest that it's sakana nafshi.
I don't know. That's a heavy issue. I don't know. I'd have to really you have to really think about that. What can I say?
We're talking about Avodah Zarah.
Again, we're talking about, you know, in those days, you know, when you wanted to get a drug, you took a drug from a tree. Maybe we could you know, do more work and see what is the biological the trigger, cause and effect of taking something from a tree on what diseases, and
if someone's really down,
what drugs do you extract from a tree? I don't know. We can try to figure that out.
How does Rabbi Yaakov know this about the Hanor from the Sheira tree? Is it a pusuk? Is it a svara that he's come up with?
I don't know. That's a good question. I would think that you'd have to learn Masechta Avodah Zarah more thoroughly to answer that question. Because I think the Chiddush of Rav Yaakov is that since Avas Hashem requires giving up your life if need be, that's premise number one, which you derive from B'chol Nafshecha, and premise number two is the opposite, the antithesis of Avas Hashem is Avodah Zarah, believing in another deity. Then comes Rabbi Yaakov with a third premise, and that third premise is, and that's where I think is his leap of faith, and this is a great chiddush, a revolution of sorts, that if there's a use of Avodah Zarah of Asi Limite Ba, and the circumstances of the case are such that there's reason to be confused and mistaken about how this refuah came about, and draw the conclusion that you can attribute this healing process to the Avodah Zarah power, that already comes under Avodah Zarah. That's, I think, the real revolution of Rabbi Yaakov. Now, if we were to learn Masechta Avodah Zarah, we would have to divide up Avodah Zarah into many different categories. I'll give you an example. There's something called Avizrayut Avodah Zarah. Then there's something called Tikrovis Avodah Zarah. Then there's Meshamshe Avodah Zarah. I mean, it's all sorts of different categories. Avizrayut Avodah Zarah might be some sort of action which is not worship per se, but it's part of worship. It's in the broader scope of worship. Like, let's say, for example, to give cover to the Avodah Zarah. Like, they used to have public holidays in which they danced in front of the Avodah Zarah. That's not an act of worship, per se. Again, if he bows down, that's something else. But he hasn't bowed down. That comes under a broader context called Avizrayut Avodah Zarah. We find something similar in Gili Arayus. There's Avizrayu de Gili Arayus, which means a broader circle. You know, it's not the real Gili Arayus, but something around Gili Arayus. And the question that Rabbi Yaakov might be touching on, I'm just throwing out a possibility, is does Avizrayu de Avodah Zarah have the same status as Avodah Zarah as far as the mitzvah of Bechol Nafshecha is concerned? He writes here in the footnote that Lidas Rashi Etzem Hahano Me'ashera Kevan Shahano Atzma Eina Avodah Zarah, and it's benefiting from Avodah Zarah, is in that case Hayoroi, it should have been the logical conclusion, Bisha Isa Yidochem Ipnei Pikuach Nefesh, Pikuach Nefesh would override it. Avol Kevan Shemisrapi Mimenu, that the person who's healing himself Nireh Kimodib Avodah Zarah, Reza Osur, even if his life is at stake. The Afal Pisha Eino Oved Avodah Zarah. Oh, here he quotes the halacha of Avizrayu Shal Avodah Zarah. And he says, V'af b'av Yisrael shall avod as a dino yehark v'aliyav. I didn't cheat, but that's what he says. And he tells you to look at Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Gimel, Shehahana hi avak avodazara. So he doesn't use the word avizrayu avodazara, which means like an auxiliary, but rather it's the dust of avodazara. And he tells you to look in other sources. But Tosis, he says, midubar, we're talking about a case, biofen she'eino yochol lehisrape al yedei eitzim acherim, that for some reason there's some exclusive singular designation of this tree to bring about his refuah, and therefore koch refuasa is a result of avodah zarah, or at least, see, I don't know if he means that there's such a reality, or he means that that's what he thinks in his mind. That's not clear from this language. He says, "Mitoch kach yavo litos achar avodah zarah." Because if he sees the power of avodah zarah to bring about life-saving healing, then lasos elohus, he'll declare that this avodah zarah is his God. Ulefi ze im refu also he be eitz misug misuyon. V'eino inyan klal avodah zarah. It's just that this tree represents that particular species that carries this drug that he needs for his health. El shalo etzliach limtso eitz acher. Oh, that's what I was saying before, that was the only eitz that was available. And ein biyado ela eitz asherah mutol esarpos pa. It's just coincidental that unfortunately the only eitz of this particular species.
What did you say mutar was?
Then it's mutul esrapospa. Then he's allowed to use the eitz asherah, because again, we're not attributing the healing power to the avodah zarah powers. Om the maran kosval pi yushami shafilu yochel esrapi beitzim kidugmasam asur shu over berfu zu ala isur shalo yidbak ba biyodcha beuim en acherim. V'din yarag val yavin noig lorak ba avodah zarah el apakol ha'isur manilvim olav. It sounds like the Ran takes a whole other approach, and you have to give up your life rather than benefiting from avodah zarah, even though benefiting from avodah zarah logically would have been classified as a separate isur. But no, it's a subcategory of avodah zarah. It's like avos and toldos in Shabbos.
Is he saying there the acherim other deities?
Wait a second. Let me just review. There's A, there's B, and C. So when you say he's saying, let's go through A, B, and C. Oh, the last one, the Ran.
Yeah.
Oh, the Ran is saying that even though there are many trees that would have, non-avodah zarah trees, that would have given him the same result and he would have been healed, nevertheless, he's not allowed to use this tree, even if it means he'll die. Right. Why? Because Yehorek V'al-Yavro applies not only to Avodah Zarah itself, but to any Isur that's Nilve Olav. I call it a Tolda, that's my terminology, right. Meaning any Isur that's a derivative, even if it's a secondary Isur, but it comes under the general rubric of Avodah Zarah, even that is included in Bechol Nafshecha, to override the Vechai Bohem and generate Aloch of Yehorek Val Yav. That's a very revolutionary position of the Ran. And Rashi refused to accept that position. Therefore, Rashi holds, well, why has he got to give up his life in order to avoid Hanah from Avodah Zarah? Hanah from Avodah Zarah is not Avodah Zarah Mamish. He's not worshipping it. The answer is, it looks like he's worshipping it. Or at least, it looks like he's attributing supernatural powers to the Asherah. And Tosis clarifies this by saying that there are no other Eitzim of this species that would give him healing. So therefore he's going to attribute the healing to the Avodah Zarah, and then he's going to start worshipping this Avodah Zarah. But if, on the other hand, says Tosfos, he could have equally achieved his refuah from other trees that are not avodah zarah trees but are the same biological species, then even if he goes ahead and he uses this tree that was worshipped as his refuah, that's mutter, that's okay. Okay, let's go on. Ki asa Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Omar he had a tradition in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Bakol, you know, with all Isur Misrabim, you can use them and violate the Isur Anof for the sake of Sakana, of saving one's life. Chutz me avodah zarah v'gilui arayos u'shpichus damim. So these are the so-called three cardinal sins. And if a person says, kill someone or I'll kill you, he has to allow himself to be killed. If a person says, have a relationship with this erva or I'll kill you, he has to allow himself to be killed. And here we turn to Daf Chav Hei Amid Beis. Shvichas Damim Avodah Zorah. Okay, so now, Avodah Zorah, Hadi Amar. The source for Avodah Zorah, that it's not, that you cannot be Doche Avodah Zorah for Pikuach Nefesh, is the pasuk that we had before, B'chol Nafshecha. Gili Arayis Shvichas Damim. How do we know that you have to give up your life rather than violate Gili Arayis or Shvichas Damim? Now, ultimately, what we're going to see is that Shvichas Damim is a Svara. You know, sometimes the Gemara derives a principle, a halachic principle from a pasuk. That's 99% of the cases. That's called the Alfusa. But in a rare situation, the Gemara derives a halachic principle from a Svara. Because you're going to kill him to save your life. Who says that your life is redder, your blood is redder than his life? So that's going to be a svara. But in the case of Gili Arayis, a svara is not going to be enough. Because you have on one side of the scale, you have the violation of Gili Arayis, as terrible as it is. On the other side of the scale, you have human life is in the balance. And I don't know which tips the scale. And therefore I'm going to apply the principle of V'chai Bohem. Human life takes precedence. For this I need a Yalfusa to teach me that Gili Arayis is different. It's not a classic Isur like any other Isur, and it rises above in its primacy even human life itself. And that's going to be based on an equation with Shvichas Damim. Again, Shvichas Damim itself is going to be derived from Svara. But Gila Rice could not be derived from Svara. We're going to derive Gila Rice from an equation to Shvichas Damim. Now, where is this equation? So this is in Parashas Ki Tetzei, the Sanya Rebbe Omer, in the Parash of Nara Hamurasa. So we're talking about a rape situation of a woman who's halachically married. She's Murasa. And the punishment for such a rape. And the pasuk says that we do not hold the girl responsible. She's not in any way liable for this terrible thing that happened, even though she's a married woman. And why? Ki kasher yakum ish al reyehu ritzocho nefesh kein hadavar hazeh. The Torah says that her situation, hadavar hazeh, can be equated with kasher yakum ish al reyehu. And we're talking about the victim of this murder, uritzocho nefesh. She is also a victim like the person who was murdered. So why did the Torah in this particular context equate Nara Murasa with murder? Well, what was the point? In other words, if you want to tell me that she's exempt from a punishment because she was raped, then you don't need to equate it with, you know, the Torah is not giving us metaphors. I mean, what halachic principles is the Torah trying to convey here by saying that Kein Adam Razeh, that this situation of the Nara Murasa and her exemption from punishment is similar to that of the victim of a murder? What does that add to my understanding? And the Gemara says, this is the Brisa Rebbe, Hareze Bal Lamed V'nimtza Lamed. In other words, Nara Murasa is what's called Nilmad. Rotzech is called Nilamed or Bal Lamed. V'nimtza Lamed means that after Rotzech is going to teach me something about Nara Murasa, based on this equation, then we're going to switch it around the other way and we're going to derive some sort of conclusion about Rotzeach from Nara Murasa. So both Rotzeach as the Melamed and Nara Murah says the Nilmad, both will play the opposite role as well. In other words, Nara Murah will become a Malamed and Rotzeph will become a Nilmad. And that's called, if you're familiar with the principle, called Ein Hekish L'mechtza, that when the Torah equates two things, you don't go in one direction, but you take it in both directions. Makish Rotzeach L'Nara Murasa. The Torah is establishing an equation between Rotzeach and Nara Murasa. Ma Nara Murasa. So this is the parsha called Rodev. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Ma Nara Murasa Nitan Latzila B'Nafsho. If this married woman is about to be raped, and there's no way that you can prevent that rape other than killing the rapist, then the halacha is that you kill the rapist. That's called a rodev. Now, again, if all things were equal, then maybe you could beat him up, and you could cut, you know, you can take a sword and cut off one of his legs or something in order to prevent it. But if that's not possible, then you're allowed to kill him in order to save her from being raped, which is a fascinating halacha unto itself. Is afrotzeach nitan latzilo benafsho. So too, if one person is rodef achar chaver lahargo, meaning Reuven is running after Shimon in order to kill him, then Levi, if need be, will kill Reuven to save Shimon. And that's derived from an equation between Rotzeach and Nara Murasa. Nara Murasa is going, again, we have to know, how do we know in Nara Murasa that you're allowed to kill the potential rapist? How do you know that? I mean, that the Gemara doesn't address right now. But assuming we know that, if that's a given, then the same law applies to Rotzeach. And that is that we will kill, if need be, we'll kill the Rodef who's threatening to murder someone in order to save the victim. But now let's go the other way around. Because we said it was a two-way street. So what do we derive from Rotzeach for Nara Murasa? And that's called Nara Murasa Mirotzeach. Ma Rotzeach Yehorg Val Yavraf Nara Murasa Tehorg Val Tavar. And just like in the case of Rotzeach, if they say to you, kill him or I'll kill you, you have to allow yourself to be killed, is so to Nara Murasa. She has to allow herself to be killed rather than violate this Isur if they give her such a choice. No, Shvichas Gufa, Shvichas Dom Gufa Minolan. And how do you know that if they tell you to kill somebody, otherwise they'll kill you, how do you know that you're not allowed to kill somebody? Svarahu. The Gemara says that's logical. Kiahudi Asalakami de Rava. Somebody actually came up with this question in front of Rava. The Amar Le, and this person tells Rava that Mori Durai, that's the governor of the city, said to me, Amar Le, Zil Katle Leplan, you go kill so and so, Vilo, and if you refuse to do so, Katlina Loch, I will kill you. What do I do in such a case? Amar Le, Liktoloch Velo Tiktol, let him kill you, and don't kill someone else. And what was it based on? Rava said, "This is for my chosis the damat idach sumak tvei dilma damat dahu gavra sumak tvei." Who says that? Again, this is a metaphor. Who says that your blood, that's damat idach, your blood is sumak tvei? It's redder. Sumak is red. Dilma, perhaps damat dahu gavra sumak tvei. Maybe that person's blood is redder than yours. The Rashi says, which of these two nefashos are more beloved in the eyes of God? There's no way we can know this. So therefore, how can you actively take his life to save yours, which basically making a statement that in the eyes of God, your life is superior to his? How do you know such a thing? And therefore, the pikuach nefesh, the mechanism of a chaybohem that normally operates, will not apply here in the case of Ritzicha. The Torah is not going to allow you to violate the Isur Ritzicha, even for the sake of pikuach nefesh, because we do so for the chavivus of a nefesh al Yisrael, which is more important than even violating the Torah. But which nefesh in this case? We don't know. If you're going to save yourself, you're going to kill him. So in any event, it'll be an ibud nefesh, it'll be a loss of a soul. And not only that, you'll also have the additional maisa avera, because if you kill him, that's you're involved in a maisa ritzicha. And therefore the logic compels us to the conclusion that you should do nothing in this case, which means you should allow yourself to die. Now once we have that in the case of ritzicha, albeit it's not derived from any pasuk, but rather from svara, which means that in the case of Lo Sirtzach, you are not permitted to violate Lo Sirtzach, even, and you have to remain idle and passive, even if it means you'll give up your life. So the same halacha applies in Gili Arayis. She's not allowed to involve herself in Gili Arayis, even if the alternative, by being passive, will mean that she's going to die. She has to be willing to give up her life for Gili Arayis.
Who is the Isser of Gili Arayis?
Oh, so that's an excellent question. Now, the Gemara seems to assume here that she would have to give up her life rather than submit herself to this act of Gili Arayis. So there are two premises here, one of which I understand very well, the other is much more complicated, much more conceptual. The first premise is that the Isur of Gili Arayis is incumbent upon both of them, the Boel and the Nevelos, and that's based on a principle called V'nichrisu HaNefashos HaOsos, that the Torah would say, in the Parsha of Gili Arayis, HaOsos, Osos in plural, referring to both the Boel and the Nevelos. So she's including Gili Arayis. That I have no question about it. But here's the question. If he is forcing her to submit herself, that's not similar to the case where they force him to kill someone. Because in the case of Gili Arayis, as far as she's concerned, she's not actively implementing an avera. She's just submitting herself. She's being passive about it. And this leads us to a sugya in Sanhedrin called Karka Olam.
She's resisting.
You remember that sugya? Who's the subject of that sugya? Okay, what Rosh Chodesh is coming around the bend? Adar. And who's the heroine of Chodesh Adar?
Esther.
So it's a whole sugya about Esther, because Esther submitted herself to have a relationship with Ahasuerus. According to one opinion, guess what? She was a married woman. Nobody thinks so. You know, you read the Megillah, you assume, you know, she was just a young maiden. But the Gemara says that Vayikach lo es Mordechai lebas, al tipi lebas el lebayis, that she was really married to Mordechai. That's one opinion. And that being the case, the Gemara asks, how could she submit herself to a relation with Ahasuerus, even if it meant that her life would be on the line if she refused, but nevertheless she has to give up her life for the sake of Gili Arayis? And the Gemara says that's Karka Olam. Karka Olam means that she's totally passive. That she, in no way did she actively participate in the Gili Arayis.
Oh, so it's the same definition.
Now, if that be the case, then let's apply that in our Gemara. And if we apply the rule of Karka Olam in our Gemara, then you don't know why the Gemara assumes that there's an equation here between Gili Arayis and Ritzicha. That just like in Ritzicha, you're not allowed to kill someone, so to give the right, she has to give up her life. So that is really the Tosus here, Dibra Maskel Af Nara Muras Apirusha Boel. The one who has to give up his life is the Boel. In other words, if the gun is pointed at his head, rather than allow himself to be Boel, in order to save his own skin, he has to be willing to give up his life. Aval he, but if you ask him at her, notice the gun is at her temple, Tiboel. She would be halachically okay to submit herself to this act of Gili Arayis because she's not active. Veloti argued she won't give up her life. Why? The Karka Olam. Because her status is that of Karka Olam. Now, this is based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin with regard to Esther, and the Gemara says that the reason why Esther did not have to give up her life, and she could have submit herself to the relationship with Ahasuerus, even if she was married, is because of the svara called Karka Olam. She would be totally totally passive. Now again, in the language of the Gemara, and this is my final comment for today, it's very difficult. Tosus's pshat is very difficult. Because look at the language of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Af nara murasa, tehoreg vialtavar, which literally means that she has to give up her life. But take a look at Tosus. Tosus says, yehoreg vialtavar. The difference between tehoreg and yehoreg is worlds apart. Tehoreg is referring to her, requiring her to give up a life. That's the text of the Gemara that we have, but Tosa had a different text. And instead of Tehoreg, it should be Yehoreg, and it's referring to the Boel rather than the Nevelis.
Where is the Tosas?
See the bold line, the bold print at the top of the page.
The top, so
you see it says Yehoreg.
Yes.
That's not what we have in our text. We have Tehoreg.
But in his explanation, he says Tehoreg.
No, he says that she would not have to give up a lot.
Tebael. Velo Tehoreg.
Right, Velo Tehoreg. Not, we have Tehoreg, she has to die. He has Velo Tehoreg, she will not die, because she will submit herself to this action in order to save her life. So basically, according to Tosus, this sugya is Yehoreg Bal Yavar. Yehoreg referring to the masculine, to the Boel, but not Tehoreg. So Blinetta will pick this up. We'll pick this up tomorrow. Wish everyone a great day. Thank you so much.
What years were you in Toronto?
Oof.